This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hour number two as we head into this morning. Glad you could be with us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Again, NCAA tournament. We've been talking about some of the games in the bracket, but we're also keeping a sharp eye on the National Football League because free agency has started. There's agreements that are being made. No contracts are signed. Things have to go through, and then there's a period of time where deals, but you can get things set in motion. You can agree to terms with players, and we saw a bunch of them yesterday. Jimmy Garoppolo is now a Raider. We talked about this in hour number one. It's not a huge deal for the Raiders. This is not the quarterback of the future. This is not the guy that is going to, you know, take them to the playoffs and give them a chance to win a Super Bowl. They're looking for the quarterback of the future. You know, you've heard the term bridge quarterback. He's like a bridge quarterback. He is between where they want to be and where they are now. Derek Carr signed an offseason extension with the Raiders last year. Did not work out. Had to move on to the New Orleans Saints. And now Jimmy Garoppolo, who is a good quarterback, but no one has ever put him in, like, elite category because he wins games. He gets he got the 49ers to the playoffs. He got him to at Super Bowl, NFC Championship. But his team was fantastic. I mean, his team is just so built so well. But he's also going to be relatively cheap, right? He's going to be a less expensive offer. Now, it's a two-way street, right, with when it comes to these kind of contracts. On the one hand, player wants to play. Player wants to start. And on the other side are the teams that are saying, well, if you want to start, if you want to play, these are the terms and this is the way we can structure how this is going to look. Jimmy Garoppolo is now going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL again. But he's not on the level of making $35, $40 million a year. He's a guy, again, knowing what the Las Vegas Raiders were doing, trying to look at quarterbacks. They'll still look at quarterbacks. They may even draft a quarterback when they make their selection. So Garoppolo is not going to command the $30-plus million level of being a starting quarterback. But at the same time, he is filling a need for this football team. So I'm surprised that he couldn't squeeze out even a little more money from the Raiders in that regard. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not like Jimmy Garoppolo is in a position to go around and get Derek Carr money or to go around and land in some other place to be a starting quarterback. The Jets weren't exactly knocking on the door to land him as they're trying to pursue Aaron Rodgers. So the opportunities for him to go out and be a starter are not there. You're seeing quarterbacks being moved yesterday, going to different teams, but those are backup roles. Taylor Heineke is going to Atlanta, Mike White to the Dolphins, Sam Darnold to the Niners. These are all guys willing to be backups, wait their turn, see what happens. Garoppolo, leaving a situation where he became the starter of the 49ers again, got hurt, and is now in a position to be a starter again, is commanding, you know, in the $20, $25 million range. And that's fine for him, but at the same time, the Raiders, where else were they? What else were they going to do? So you want some kind of starter at that position while you're even looking at rookies and guys that, you know, you may not be this year. They may be next year that you find your quarterback. And Garoppolo is in a position where he gets a three-year deal that can be voided after one. It's relatively cheap. It's one reason, look, they would have, if Derek Carr was inexpensive, they'd have Derek Carr still. Derek Carr signed a huge contract extension this offseason, and when they started to realize under Josh McDaniels, you know what, I think we could do better at this quarterback position. He threw too many interceptions, and you know what, I think we need to move on and find another quarterback. You have to get rid of that money. So I'm not surprised by Garoppolo not breaking the bank. He's not that kind of quarterback. He's not on that level. The resume is great. The wins are great. But I think people who look at him and say, this is not one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, but he does win games, and he won games on good teams. And if we put a good team around him, maybe he'll win some games for us. But in the end, the Raiders are looking for somebody else. The Raiders are going to – and for Garoppolo, that's a pretty good life. I mean, seriously, he's been to a Super Bowl. He's been to two NFC Championship games in his career. He's now in Las Vegas, right? Young guy, attractive guy, money. He's going to have a fun time in Las Vegas. I'm sure he's going to have a good time living in Las Vegas as a starting quarterback of the Raiders for however long that may last. But we're also keeping an eye again. Aaron Rodgers' watch continues. This has been hilarious to watch the Jets wait and wait and wait for their guy that may come and may not come. But NFL free agency underway, so we'll keep you tabs on that. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour as well. But the NCAA tournament, we're still looking at some teams and still looking at the games that make up this bracket. As Ron and I said in hour number one, haven't filled out the bracket yet. But I will say that when I do, I am the kind of person that I get really I think the reason why I don't win these things is because I am very reluctant to pick upsets. And I know upsets exist. I just can't peg the right one. And when I look back on my bracket history, I think it's because every single time I decide, you know what? I think this team is going to lose, like Xavier, let's say. I think they're going to get upset in the first round. They make a run to the Sweet 16. Or I pick an upset where the team goes to the Elite Eight and I lose all that. Never go chalk, but in the end, That's some advice I'm going to give you. When you add up the teams that are in your Final Four, the little number, the seeding, make sure it's not huge. Right? Four is the lowest it can go. It's very rare that you get all chalk, all number one seeds in. It's happened, but it's rare. Five is a little low. Keep it around seven, eight, nine. Because if you're going to get two ones, a three, maybe a two. That gets you to seven. Seven, eight, nine. That's it. If you're into the 10s, 11s, and 12s, you're really hoping for some chaos. Now, with the exception this year, could be that there are some teams that are capable of getting to the Final Four from that 4-5 spot this season. Right? It'll take some work. And it'll take a strong night, maybe an upset of a number one along the way if somebody else doesn't do it for you. But watch out for Duke in that five spot. Watch out for Duke. I mean, again, that's a good, good basketball team that's found its rhythm. Like he said, they got their players all lined up now, and they won nine in a row and went through the ACC tournament and won that. Tennessee at a four, I'm not buying yet. I think they're going to have trouble without Zakai Ziegler. I think it's a big loss. UConn at a four. That's a really dangerous UConn team. Really dangerous. They could go to the Final Four. So mostly, like I said, you keep it around 7, 8, 9 when you're with your final four numbers, Final Four seedings. But a Duke or UConn getting in could really spoil that. I don't have an upset special like a lot of people do. I know that's the first thing people ask guys who, you know, on the shows like Jay Billis and Seth Greenberg, they go, "Who's your upset special?" And they usually just grab something because they just talk up a team most people haven't heard of, and they say they really like that team. And then we'll see. You're not set in stone. You're not guaranteeing anything, but you got to go, "Oh, you know what? I think Furman over Virginia. I think that Paladin's team out of the SoCon is a great team. And I think that they do this well and this well and this well. And I think Tony Bennett's Virginia team has been a little underwhelming, even though they had a pretty good season record-wise. It's been a tough slog at times," you know, things like that. So I don't have like a team that I'm like, "Hey, watch out for this 11 seed or 12 seed." But I will tell you, there are a couple that make me go, "I'm really curious about that." And I think that Charleston-San Diego State game is really intriguing to me. Really intriguing. But I like the Aztecs defensively. I think a strong defensive team in this tournament, you can go really far. But
so you're not thinking, I'm looking at the other 12-5s, Drake over Miami?
People like Drake over Miami. They like Drake because Drake's head coach, DeVries, he's got his son playing for him. There's a lot to like about Drake. He's a really, really strong player. But Miami, Jim Larranaga has done a good job in Miami this year. That's been a top 25 team this season. They beat Duke at home this year. They've had a good enough year to earn a five seed. But they do like, people do like Drake. There is the Drake Bulldogs. They've been buzzed about them. So But I'm not taking Grand Canyon over Gonzaga, right? I mean, oh, by the way, you know who coaches Grand Canyon?
Who?
Bryce Drew. Do you remember Bryce Drew from
years ago? I've
heard
the name.
Yeah, Valparaiso with the shot back in the, I want to say early late 90s, but maybe it was, maybe my brain doesn't recognize dates as much as they used to. Like UCLA. UCLA is a two seed without Jalen Clark. They'll get by UNC Asheville, no problem, but they could have trouble against this pesky Northwestern team in the second round. Chris Collins and Northwestern. Famous in the tournament for the kid crying. Do you remember the kid crying when Northwestern was last in, when they were in the tournament?
Yes.
Yes, remember that?
Yes.
They caught him. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus and her husband, their son played on the Northwestern team a couple of years ago. When was that? 2 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that? Well, I'm getting old, Ron. My years are melded together.
It's definitely, it can't be 3 years ago. I'm trying to use that as the benchmark because there was no tournament 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to remember, was Julie Louise Dreyfus before or after COVID?
That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm looking it up right now because I remember that year. They did a
was it 19
really good
or 21? Because I know it wasn't last year.
Yeah, no, it wasn't
I'm thinking
year.
It was 21.
Might have been 2 years ago. Yeah, that's right. Might have been 2 years ago. So, yeah, her son played there. So, but, you know, we shall see. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up next, and then more on the NFL. And I do want to get to the World Baseball Classic, the United States with a mercy rule win against Canada. And, man, these stadiums are packed here in the United States. We'll talk about that as well. And the story about Ja Morant gets a little bit more interesting for the troubled Memphis Grizzlies star. It's all coming up this hour. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right. It's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Glad you could be with us here on a Tuesday morning. And again, with the NCAA tournament starting, that's good, but it's not as good as the good of the day. What is it?
The good of the day, I'm liking this one, and this might we might need some more info on it.
Okay.
Or we might have, not info, but we might need to have more discussion on it. But yesterday, or sometime over this past weekend, J.J. Watt hit his first hole-in-one.
Did he?
He did. Here's the issue, and it's a philosophical question, okay? It was done on a par three course. Does it count?
No. No, it doesn't.
Are you sure?
I give it no other explanation. No,
because I mean, it was fun because I'm like JJ Watt.
Pitch
even
pitch and putt course.
JJ Watt even asked a question. Does it count? I mean, he was happy about the hole in one. He has it on video. He's doing it with his parents, and he goes and he admitted right away, this is great, but does this count? And the comments were extremely split. It was like 50-50, 51-49.
I'm in the category it says no.
There were a lot of people saying yes. A lot of people wanting to know how far was it.
No, that doesn't matter. I'll tell you. Okay, I know what the question is coming. I know
but
what
it's a great
coming.
One, right?
It's a good one, but it doesn't matter. And here's why. What the question is saying is, at a lot of these courses, these little par three courses, some of the holes are like 70 yards. Some of them are like 160. Some of them are 55, right? It depends on the layout. It's mostly to grab a wedge, maybe a wedge and maybe a 9-iron and a putter, and that's really it. You're supposed to be, these courses is where you can carry like 3 clubs with you and play. So I understand what the guy is saying. Like if it's from 60 yards out, it doesn't count. But it does if it doesn't matter because sometimes when you go to a regulation golf course, some of the best holes in golf are short. Some of the best holes are 100 yards. I've played courses in Colorado where I was part of this media group and we would go open golf courses. And sometimes they would say one of our signature holes is the very short par 3 7th. That's 110 yards, but bunkers all around it. Like it surrounds the green, like little things like that. So no, I don't think yardage matters, but I do think it needs to be on a USGA golf course. Like I think it has to be on a golf course that is a golf, like these pitch and putts aren't really, they're not, you can't get a handicap at these golf courses. That's what I mean.
You're
so right. Maybe USGA was a little strong. But you can't get a handicap by playing a pitch and putt golf course. So if you can't get a handicap at that course, it doesn't count. That's the way I view it. But it was a golf course. It's a hole in one. I can see where people say yes. In my view, no. But in other people's view, yeah, I can understand. It's still a great accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, it's still hard, especially if it was 100 plus yards. Yeah. I mean, that's not an easy thing.
I've played golf for 35 years, and I've never got one.
Many times.
I had one that where the ball landed on the green. It was a morning, and the dew line from when it rolled went right over the edge of the cup. Like, my friends laughed and laughed and laughed. I had one that landed about 6 inches away when I was in college. I've hit the flag a number of times, but never landed it.
That's funny.
Yeah. That dew line thing was really funny. Really funny. Because I knew I hit it well. And when we got up to the green, one of my friends said, we couldn't really see it. And one of my friends says, I wonder if that went in. And we went up there, and he goes, ah, look at that. He goes, the ball just rolls. You could see the track mark. It goes right over where the flag is, that little space between the flag and the edge of the cup. It went right over that. And then you saw the line disappear and then pick it up right on the other end. I was like, oh, geez. Yeah.
There must have been a little land bridge there, right, that kept it from going in?
Yeah, right, exactly. But, you know, I'm too broke to buy everybody in the clubhouse beers and stuff, so I'm glad I don't have one. J.J. Watt's not as broke.
Wait, if you get a hole-in-one, why are you buying other people's beers?
I never understood that tradition, that when you get a hole-in-one, you're supposed to buy rounds.
Yeah, no.
I do not get it.
Nope.
J.J. Watt's rich enough to buy rounds for everybody, I hope he did.
But if I get a hole-in-one, you guys are all, you know, you're working to get me plowed.
Yeah, exactly. I it's so funny that I'm not a great golfer, but I'm not bad. I'll shoot like in the 80s and stuff. But I've played with some bad golfers that have one, that have a hole-in-one. Because hole-in-ones can come anywhere. I had a friend of mine who was like, yeah, I got a hole-in-one. A couple years ago, I hit this line drive, and it bounced off a rock and landed on the green and went in the hole. I'm like, that counts, but okay. Yeah, I've heard all sorts of crazy stories about hit a bad shot that hit a tree.
Yeah.
Landed on the green, went in the hole. That they're not all like land on the green, drop, plop. Right? So you can go.
No,
from
I just
anywhere.
Found it fascinating because I said this is a great philosophical question because
I think
if I did it, I'm counting it.
I have to say this. I say no, but if I got one, if somebody invited me to a pitch and putt golf course, I would
because it's not a mini golf course. I mean, we've all had
hole-in-ones
on a mini golf course.
No, that's another question. Is it one of those places where like I've played them at these little ones where it's like 60 yards, 30 yards,
right.
You know, like ones like that. Is this like a legitimate?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if it's 100 plus yards,
yeah, then
I think
great.
That might be legit because what's the difference between that? You know, say the hole is like 100 between 130, 160 yards.
To me, it's not the hole; it's the location.
It's the location.
It's the course. It to me, it's the.
You haven't had to get out there and you know.
Yeah.
Swing the big dog and then follow that up with another wood and then
what?
An
You're
iron.
You're convincing
and...
me that maybe it should count the more I'm thinking about it.
I don't know.
Yeah,
well, I just know. Like,
good question.
The
really
only reason why
question.
I say I would count it because if it's me, I'm counting it and letting everyone know I had a hole-in-one.
You know
and
what?
And I'm not telling the golf course name.
Let's be honest here. It's not like there's somebody keeping an official record of all the hole-in-ones that are made in America.
No.
It counts because he says it counts. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to find my grandfather's hole-in-one anywhere in the history books.
Right.
When he was alive, you would see a full wall displayed about
True.
It.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, that's what's happening to me.
Oh, he had everything. He had, he made sure all his buddies, because he was out with the foursome, that they all signed the card. He had the one circled a bunch of times so you knew which hole. I mean, he had like a shrine to it.
I've had three eagles in my lifetime, and all of them came from hitting the wedge in the cup on the from that. I can't hit par even when I was younger. I could not hit par fives and two, so it was the only time I could do it. And I regret the first one not because I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. I never got like I didn't keep the ball, but the third time I did it, I kept the ball and the scorecard and everything. So I would definitely have a hole in one. like shrine if I ever got one.
Of course.
Scorecard. I would ask for the flag. I would like I would buy the flag. I'd buy it all. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that Trevor Bauer is signing with a new team.
Yeah, he's going to Japan, right?
He's going to Japan, the Yokohama Bay Stars of the Japanese League, and he signed for them for $3 million.
Let's refresh the Trevor Bauer story, go ahead.
The Trevor Bauer story is this. It was claimed in a report that he did all these terrible things. Sexual harassment, basically.
Him and his girlfriend were involved in very rough sex.
Yeah.
And she claimed it was violent beyond the norm, violent beyond her comfort zone. And so he said it was consensual, but there was an investigation done and no charges were filed, right?
No,
but the Dodgers still released him.
They since have been dropped. MLB suspended him for two years.
Suspended him for 2 years.
Actually, the charges haven't been dropped. There's still a court case going on.
Okay.
It's just not as bad as it once was.
Right, okay.
But MLB suspended him for 2 years because of this, which was unheard of.
And he said, no, this is totally consensual. And it's a difficult place to be for MLB, but they said, no, it still doesn't matter. It's a bad look. You're suspended. But 2 years was a long time.
2 years is a long time.
Really long time for something you couldn't prove.
So they lifted the suspension, so he is free and able, but the Dodgers released him as soon as they lifted the suspension.
Right.
And
now
apparently,
he's in Japan.
The first 50 games of this coming season, he still wouldn't be getting paid, but he was allowed to play. This is the part that was confusing to me, and I'm not really sure. I'd have to read up on it a little bit more, but the Dodgers would be taking on the rest of the salary. So if he signed with the new team, the Dodgers are still paying him.
If it was, are they still paying him in Japan?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah, that's a difference. Like if he's playing for the Mets, then
they would
have
to pay him.
Yeah, they'll pay him,
and he could sign for like the league minimum with the Mets. Yeah. I mean, somebody could have literally signed him for $720. I think is the league minimum.
Okay, that's an interesting. That's an interesting legal case because what basically he could argue is you still have to pay me. I'm playing for in Japan because I still want to play. You're not allowing me to play.
Yeah.
And you're not giving me the opportunity to play. So I'm playing here, but you still have to pay me because we're under contract. I'm not playing for the Padres. I'm not playing for the Cardinals. That's a very interesting
situation.
Yeah, does it
work overseas?
Exactly. All right, we'll get to the dumb coming up next. It's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
We're taking you through the brackets on the Sports Map Radio Network, presented by BlueChew.com. Guys, it's all about confidence, and confidence is what you get with the chewables from BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. And for Sports Map Radio listeners, try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code MADNESS at checkout. That's BlueChew.com, promo code MADNESS, to receive your first month free. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we will be going over the brackets in a little bit as we continue with our NCAA tournament coverage. And again, brought to you by Blue Chew. And guys, it is all about confidence, and confidence knowing that you'll be ready to go when your partner is, and confidence knowing that you'll be able to go a few extra rounds when needed. Confidence is what you get with the chewables from BlueChew.com, a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and a fraction of the cost. And now they have Verdenafil mint flavored chewables. Blue Chew tablets are a performance enhancement for the bedroom. It can help you gain extra confidence when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office or any awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. That's a big deal. And it ships right to your door, discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription subscription within days. And the best part, it's done online. All of it done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredients and strength for your prescription. And if you don't like swallowing pills, no problem here. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. And again, here's a special deal for you guys. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code MADNESS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code MADNESS to receive your first month absolutely free. All right, we are going to conclude Good, the Bad, and the Dumb. So let's get to the Dumb of the Day.
Dumb of the Day. And this actually will fall right into March Madness.
Okay, great.
Because there is a Chicago man who is suing Buffalo Wild Wings.
He is?
He is.
Okay, why?
Because his lawsuit claims that boneless wings are just chicken nuggets.
Isn't he right?
Yeah.
So they just don't want to call him chicken nuggets?
I guess. See,
all right,
I need
a chicken food expert to tell me what's the difference between a nugget and a boneless wing.
Right.
Like, is it a different meat?
The thick size? You know, because, I mean, a nugget always, to me, seems flat.
Right.
Where a boneless wing seems to, you know, and nuggets always seem to have the same shape.
Yeah. Okay, so quick question. When you go, is that just, when somebody orders boneless wings, if I was the lawyer, I would want to know, and I'm not a lawyer because a lawyer would probably go, that's a dumb question to ask. But
yeah.
I would say, what was the expectation of what you wanted ordering a boneless wing? What did you think you were getting and what did you get that you didn't like?
Right.
Is it just the terminology that in the end, did you like it? Did it meet what you thought it was? Like, when you order a boneless wing, what do you want? Do you want the dark meat without the bone? Is it white meat that you're getting that's not on the bone? Like, I can't believe I'm breaking it down like this, but that's how I would do it.
No, but I mean, it makes sense because, I mean, the truth of the matter is, yeah, what were you thinking?
Right, right.
I mean, you know, I've had boneless wings. Sometimes it's the only option. Or this one wing place we go to, like on Sunday, has an incredible deal for boneless wings. So I'm like, you know, let's just get this because this feeds the whole family.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really in it for the sauces anyways. I know what I'm getting.
Yeah, exactly.
And it never once occurred to me to go, oh, you know what? I should probably sue this place for false advertising because this is no part of a wing at all.
The other part of it is it a common term in the industry, even if the terminology doesn't meet what it is? Like,
listen, if you order buffalo wings, right?
Right.
That itself is wrong because a lot of times you get legs.
That's true. That's right.
That's not a wing. We all know it's not a wing.
You get the drummies.
You get the drumstick.
Yeah.
It's just a leg.
So another question is that, for example, could I, like, hamburger has no ham in it.
Sue it.
Right? Can I sue
McDonald's.
A hamburger place? So it's mostly about terminology. When I was in...
I'm suing because of French fries, because I know that they didn't come from France.
In the back in 2008... My producer and I were in Tucson, Arizona for a week for Rockies spring training. They had just come off the World Series, so they sent us to Tucson. And one night, we went to Hooters. And my producer ordered boneless wings. Okay, I ordered the regular wings because I like regular wings.
And you like being messy.
That's right. He ordered the boneless wings. The waitress, a nice young lady, what you would expect at Hooters, she came out and she dropped our food off. And my producer said, excuse me, what's this? I ordered boneless wings. And she said, we're out of boneless wings, so they just tossed some chicken nuggets into your sauce.
Mm.
He said, no, take this back. He ordered something else because I don't want this. This is not what I ordered. Another waitress came to the table with the food he ordered. He ended up ordering like a hamburger or something. We were waiting and waiting. The waitress comes by, and I said, what happened to our young lady? She says, oh, she's in the back crying. He made her cry over this. He was so snappy that she cried, and they had another waitress wait on us because she wouldn't wait on us after that.
Yeah, I guarantee that burger was a sneezer.
That's right. And I said, you know I'm bringing this up tomorrow.
Of course.
And he goes,
big bully.
I know. I said, you bullied a Hooters waitress over boneless wings. And he goes, I know. And for like the next few months, that's what everybody commented on, was the fact that he made a Hooters waitress cry.
But I mean, think about
it. But he goes, I don't want the kid chicken nuggets drenched in buffalo sauce. That's not what I ordered. And I didn't even have the, at that time, I did not say, well, what did you think you were getting? And now I'm thinking I should have asked him, what did you think you were, what's the difference between a boneless wing and the kid's chicken nugget?
I mean, I guess it's the shape, right?
Maybe the shape.
Because if you get, you've had boneless wings before.
Sure.
They're a different size shape than a chicken nugget.
Right.
And they are, you know, sometimes there's a lot more meat in a boneless wing than there is chicken nugget. Sometimes there's not.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're like snowflakes. There's no two shapes that are similar.
Right. Yeah. So I think he's going nowhere with this, but nevertheless.
But again, I mean, you know what?
National conversation.
When we all heard about the lady at McDonald's suing McDonald's because her coffee was hot.
Yeah.
And there was no label on the cup saying, hey, your coffee is going to be hot.
Yes, but I read that story where coffee was 190 degrees.
It was hotter than normal.
She got third degree burns.
Yeah.
She needed
Bill Raw of it is like, you didn't know it was going to be hot.
Right, exactly. It's hot.
And it's like this, you don't know what, you know, you're getting a boneless wing is.
Okay, if he got a boneless wing that had bones in it. That would be something.
Oh,
like if he bit into a boneless wing and there was a bone that got lodged in his throat, they needed the Heimlich, then I'd have a lawsuit.
Or if he ordered boneless wings and it came out as fish nuggets.
That's right. I get it.
And they were doing that for years. Or, you know, like Subway.
Yeah.
Subway, you know, claiming he's like, try our foot long. It's like, no, it's 11 inches.
Yeah, right. All right, when somebody measured that.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. By the way, your J.J. Watt story, I went to golf.com.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so here's where golf.com listed, let's see here, 21 times a hole-in-one is absolutely doesn't count, okay?
Okay.
So real quick, some of them are easy. After a mulligan, right? After a penalty shot, of course.
Okay.
Multiple attempts, yeah. Like those all are kind of in the same vein, right?
How many times have you done that? When you know nobody's behind you, you're on a par three?
All the time.
Yeah, you have four or five balls. Okay.
So, I play this golf course down the road from my house. I always end up at a time when it's not busy, and I will run back and play the hole again.
Yeah.
I'll look behind me. I go, because there'll be places where I can see two holes back, and it's kind of a little bit more open. And I go, all right, no one's on six and no one's on five. That means I can go back and play seven. And I go back. Sometimes I go back and play six. Golf simulator. I mean, these are really basic.
Well,
temporary
yeah.
green, scramble, when you play an odd number of holes, when you're not keeping score. Oh, that's not true. That's not true. When you're not keeping score, many times I play where I'm not keeping score, but I have the score in my head. I'll make up a score if I get a hole in one. I'm sorry.
I'm filling out a card no matter what.
Exactly.
Like, I'll give myself an eight here, four here. You know, I'll just go right on down.
As long as there was a witness, if I play it in a hole in one and there's no witness, then I got a problem. But if there's a guy on the next screen, right?
Would it be on the list if you were by yourself?
I think it's not on the list, but you can have a witness. You can have like the groundskeeper could see it. Like the group ahead of you could see it.
Yeah.
So if you have to have a witness. But the one of the things that they say is on a par three course. But here's their reasoning. Technically, you're playing an actual course and registering a legitimate score, but there's just something about it that doesn't feel right. True hole-in-ones are registered on golf courses where par threes are few and far between. That's a weak argument. So maybe J.J. Watt does have a case. That's not a really good reason to say par threes don't count. So sorry, Golf Digest.
Please don't that it's right.
Yeah, just feelings don't count in this situation. It's legitimate or not.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio, keeping you updated with what's going on in the NFL. So Alan Lazard and the Jets are working on a deal. That's another Green Bay Packer would be on the Jets, except they want one. What do you do? Again, What do you do with Nathaniel Hackett if you don't land Aaron Rodgers? Do you really just let him work? Do you go, or were you like, yeah, sorry, this isn't going
to
work out?
I mean, do you go to him and say, so Rodgers isn't coming?
Right, right.
And you said you can't turn Zach Wilson into Rodgers?
Yeah.
Do you still believe in that?
It's like when you were a kid and you had the friend that had the Atari and the ColecoVision,
right,
and you didn't really like them, but you were friends with them because you wanted to play the video
yes.
games, right? And you were like, let's be friends with Mike. Mike's whole house is toys and video games and fun, but we don't really like Mike, but that's okay. We'll just want the toys. Didn't they make movies about this where people were like hanging around for just liking people because of what they had?
A Christmas movie that came out this year.
8-Bit Christmas.
8-Bit Christmas.
Exactly. Where the kid was a bully, but everybody wanted to be his friends because he had the Nintendo.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he got the glove.
He got the glove.
And, you know, all the little things. And he only chose, but every day he would walk out and choose four people.
You had to bring him gifts. Somebody brought him a summer sausage.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But, yeah, it's like that. It's like, we love Nathaniel Hackett. No, Nathaniel Hackett is, there's no reason to correlate him and Aaron Rodgers and our pursuit of Aaron Rodgers. No, Nathaniel Hackett is our offensive coordinator because he earned it. He's one of the top young minds in the NFL. And then if Aaron Rodgers goes, I'm going to stay retired, they'll find a reason to get rid of Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah,
they'll plant stuff to get rid of Nathaniel Hackett.
Because I
feel bad
because you can't help shake that feeling, right? That he was hired just to lure Aaron Rodgers to the team.
I believe that's exactly why the Broncos hired him.
I mean, I can't see the Jets going, well, you know, he didn't get a fair shake in Denver.
Yeah,
you know, but he was great in Green Bay, so let's bring him over. Maybe he can do something with our kids. And all the Jets have done was like, well, you're not going to work with Mike White. We're going to get rid of him.
Exactly.
What's his name still on the team? Why?
Joe Flacco?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is he still on the team?
Yeah.
You're not really going to work with him. He's an old dog. Can't teach
him
new tricks.
So you're going to end up, Nathaniel Hackett's going to end up with a bad quarterback, and then they'll go, yeah, this isn't working out. Thanks for your time. That's it. I mean, that's how the Denver Broncos tried it. The old regime, Nathaniel Hackett, the argument that you can make about him in Denver was he wasn't the owner's hire. He was hired before the owners took over. So when he wasn't producing, when his team failed miserably, the owners went, well, that's not the guy we wanted anyway. So let's cut him loose. Let's fire him. How many coaches ever get fired in the first season? Ever. Hardly any of them get fired
right
in year one. Hardly any of them ever get fired without completing year one. And the one reason that happens is, you know, David Culley, for example, got fired. Lovie Smith got fired. But for the most part, hardly any of them do, because the owner and the general manager who make the decision want to give it a little more time to see if it works out. They don't like admitting they've made a mistake immediately. They don't mind if they've had 2 years and you go, yeah, whatever. So there's a little pride that works in your favor when you get hired. But if the ownership group doesn't hire you and you're not their guy, then you're on thin ice anyway. So Nathaniel Hackett being let go was, you could more point to the owners there going, eh, that's not our guy. But there's no question in my mind that when he was hired by the previous regime, it was 100% to get Aaron Rodgers to decide he wanted to go to Denver. And when that didn't work, tick, tick, tick. Now you better be good.
And then you got Russell Wilson, but then you led Russell Wilson to having his worst career ever.
Exactly.
And honestly, we don't know who's to blame.
Right.
You know, exactly. I think what hurt Nathaniel Hackett was, you know, hiring a special advisor for clock management and
things like that. Yeah.
Or, you know, giving all the concessions to Russell Wilson. Listen, the only head coach I ever thought that should have got fired in the first year, I mean, he didn't even complete the season, was Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
He was completely out of his league.
Those are cases where owners are willing to go, we made a mistake.
And he's with an owner who doesn't do that.
He doesn't do that.
He doesn't mind. He's like, I'll lose four straight years for you to figure this out. I don't care.
But yeah, because a lot of them don't want to play the exit contract money and all the stuff that comes. I mean, these guys aren't like, they're not going to the unemployment office. They get a check to leave.
For Shad Khan, though, there was pressure simply because, like, hey, you have a once-in-a-generation quarterback who looks terrible.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Hackett being hired by the Jets, it's supposed to bring Rodgers. It's not because he's a bright mind. There's a plenty of offensive coordinators they could have hired, but they wanted Rodgers. And look, do I think they'll get Rodgers? If you asked me a couple weeks ago when we had Alex Stroh on, I would have said, I don't think so. But I think the more this drags out, I think it is he's going
Jets. Here's my issue, right?
I don't think he's playing for the Packers.
No.
So you think I'm down to retired or the Jets?
But here's my issue. It's all the reports are saying. It's in Rodgers' court right now.
Yeah.
And I could see Rodgers going back to Green Bay.
Just because.
I mean,
so if he wants to go back to Green Bay, why doesn't he go back right now?
Because he's a narcissist.
Why isn't he saying that to the team so that the team can say, well, then let's...
I think Aaron loves the fact that he has the NFL world by the cojones.
Right, but it doesn't do him any good
professionally. No, it doesn't, but I think he's so high on ayahuasca or whatever it's called that he doesn't even realize that it's not doing him any good. He doesn't care.
Like, it's not like Brady deciding to come back from retirement last year, right? Where he said, okay, let's get to work. I need free agents to know that I'm on the team. He needed to do that too. Like, if the Packers are going to make a legitimate run at a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, don't the Packers deserve to know if their quarterback is good? Like, if you're a free agent and you're looking at Green Bay and you say, well, who's the quarterback? And the Packers go, I don't know.
See, and that's why I think secretly,
I don't know if I want to sign here.
Secretly, I think the Packers are, you know, they're in a favorable position to a point. Because I think they can sit back in the situation like, well, we have Jordan Love. We need to figure out what Jordan Love can do.
That's right. So
we've used him a couple of times, but we need to figure out what he can do. And they might be thinking, you know, hey, the transition from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers was not easy. It wasn't pretty.
Right.
But it worked.
You're right about that. That is the thing that the Packers can say. The Packers can go to anybody say, look, we're either going to have Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love, but we really believe in both of them.
And if Aaron Rodgers come back, I mean,
all
of us will sit there and it's like, well, you have to play him. You're paying him X amount of money that you can't sit that on the bench.
And the Jets can't say that where they can say, well, we hope to get Aaron Rodgers, but we love Zach Wilson. We don't love Zach Wilson.
I looked up the depth chart. So right now the starter is Joe Flacco. Zach Wilson is second string. And the third string quarterback is Chris Streveler.
Oh, really? Chris, where did he go to college? Because he sounds familiar. Louisville?
South Dakota.
Okay. I'm a miles away from there.
Close.
I randomly threw a college team just to get the college conversation going.
I think similar colors?
Right? Maybe. I don't know. So, yeah. Okay. So they can't go and say, we love this guy. Right? They can't say, we love our – doesn't matter who it is. The Packers could say that. The Packers could say, look, we love whoever is quarterback, and we love Aaron Rodgers.
And in a way, they almost have to find out what Jordan Love can do, because how long has Jordan Love been in the league now?
Again, he was drafted, 2020?
Forever.
Right? So he's approaching, that moment where you go, wow, we just wasted 5 years of this guy's career, 4 years of this guy's career, while he sit around, did nothing. We don't have enough game tape on him. And we never really got to see what he could do. Like, this guy, man, how horrible is that to be drafted in the first round as a quarterback and sit on the bench for years and years and years?
That's why, I mean, he has to do this. But, I mean, again, I mean, how many years in a row did Aaron sit on the bench?
Right? Same thing, Same thing. And it's awful because you're in a league where you look around the league and you say, like, oh, Kenny Pickett didn't start for a while, but now is the man in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Zach Wilson was the man the second he got there.
Justin Herbert.
Yeah, you
wait
till
a doctor
stabbed
the quarterback into the chest.
That's
right. To the lungs for him to play.
You start looking around the league and you start seeing guys who are heading into contract years, getting big money. you have no resume tape because the Packers decided you're going to be the quarterback of the future with no exit strategy on how they were going to get you there. And that's horrible. Meanwhile, your young years are ticking away wearing a ball cap and holding a clipboard. Goodness. All right, Hour 3 is coming up next as we continue. Josh Alper will join us to talk some NFL news. And, of course, March Madness will continue.